You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Mom life. We're surrounded with the message that it's the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it is hard and full of lots of servitude, the idea that motherhood means a joyless life is something I'm passionate about putting a stop to. I'm on a mission to help you stop counting down the minutes till bedtime. At least most days. I want you to stop cleaning up after your kid's childhood and start being present for it. Start enjoying it. I believe in John 10:10 that we are called to abundant life, and I know mothers are not excluded from that promise. Join me in conversations about simplicity, minimalism, and lots of other good stuff that leads to a life of less for the sake of enjoying more in your motherhood. I'm Ali Casaza, and this is The Purpose Show. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of The Purpose Show. I'm extra excited and really honored to be coming to you with this episode. We're talking about some pretty serious stuff here today with Chelsea. Chelsea, can you say your last name for me?
Yes, it's Ranking. I even think we say it wrong, so.
Oh, okay, Chelsea Ranking. She is kind of an amazing mama. She's writing, actually she just finished writing and is about to submit a paper for college on the effects of minimalism on people who struggle with ADD. And this issue is kind of close to my heart as my mom struggles with ADD. So I'm really excited to just kind of dive in and just talk to Chelsea about this topic. So thank you so much, Chelsea, for taking time just to talk with us.
Well, thank you, Allie. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. So you are diagnosed with ADD, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then you wrote your paper on the effects of minimalism and ADD. So we want to hear from you. Can you just kind of give us maybe start with a little bit of a background of your story and kind of what made you want to get into digging into this topic and kind of how ADD has affected you and just a little bit of your background?
Right. So I have struggled with learning in school. So I went to public school throughout my whole life. And in third grade, I just remember having such a hard time with spelling tests. And my mom noticed this as well and seek to get help for me. And my teacher just said, oh, she's fine. She doesn't need any assistance and we'll work through it. And through that came a diagnosis of a learning disability, which actually didn't get really diagnosed till like 2014 when I went back to college, when I met back with my doctor. It was just labeled as a learning disability and wasn't titled ADHD. So with that came not really getting help in the public school system until I got to college. So it has been such a struggle, and it just really, trying to find the right word for it. Mm. It beats you down as a person when you fail over and over and over again. So yeah sorry. And that is another thing with ADHD. So emotion, that frontal lobe definitely comes into play when it's talking about emotional things. So you are more likely to feel all the feels and to cry. And so, yeah, so I will try and hold it together.
Please just, I mean, whatever you need to do on, I don't know if you've listened to a lot of episodes, but I have cried a couple of times on my show and I ended up like sobbing during a live stream in my Purpose Society group like last month. Sometimes you just, I mean, what we're doing is important and it's important to us. So when I'm talking about like my story or depression or PPD or whatever, I get super emotional. So I totally understand and it's all good. And I think it also helps people understand like the importance of this, and anybody who maybe is diagnosed with ADD or ADHD or thinks they might have that issue. I mean, this is going to just communicate in such a powerful way to them that it's okay. And there's things they can do to kind of lighten that load. And so that's kind of of where, for those of you listening, that's kind of where I want to go with this episode, is just like, okay, if this is speaking to you, how can we lighten your load? So, Chelsea, yeah. I would love to hear from you. Maybe how does ADD or ADHD affect you as a mother specifically?
Oh, that's a loaded question. So for example, when I'm making dinner, my daughter is 2 years old and she loves her mama. And so making dinner for me is a struggle as it is, following a recipe, getting everything out on the counter and following through with it, finishing the task at hand without burning anything. But then when you have a toddler or an infant needing you and being pulled in that other direction, you completely just want to crack and break and cry and scream. And then, especially if you have a spouse at home, maybe doing their self-caring because they just got done with a hard day's work, and trying to respect that, all of that anger just builds, I feel, as a parent. Mm-hmm. Struggling with this. And so really just learning to work through those moments and being able to calm yourself down and positive self-talk and saying, you know what, this is the next 20 minutes. Melanie is crying at my feet. That's okay. Can I encourage her to go get a different toy or something? And definitely having minimalism worked in with this. As she's getting older, I see how beneficial it is, because now when I say, can you go get a toy or a book? She knows exactly which one she wants because she doesn't have a million toys to choose from.
Right.
And the other thing, going back to the kitchen, is now that I have set it up to work for me instead of against me, for example, a utensil like a spatula, I only have 2 maybe, and where you could have way more than that, because I would grab a spatula that I don't really like to work with, and then that would go in the sink because I grabbed it and used it once and decided, oh, I want a different one. So definitely paring down what you really have around you eliminates those overwhelming factors. So,
yeah,
sorry, I'm full on tangent.
No, it's totally fine. This is your episode, not mine. So you're totally good. So, okay. So kind of since you brought it up, and that's where I wanted to go next, talking about the idea of minimalism and just sort of this philosophy of less clutter physically, you have seen, and we talked about this when you interviewed me for your paper, mm-hmm. how you were kind of just repeating what I'm always trying to get across. And I love how you said it, that it's not just about like having a clean space, having an uncluttered space and just being, you know, everyone always says this to me and it drives me crazy. And I know that they mean well, but it drives me crazy when they say it like being organized. Right. It is not about that at all. I'm actually a really disorganized person and I'm a really busy person with a lot going on, and you have the same thing and you have, you know, the ADD struggle. So it's not about, oh, I just like want to be super organized. It's like a fight for survival.
Right.
And it's a means to a simpler, more abundant life in the middle of chaos, really. So can you, and this is very vague again, but can you just kind of maybe focus on an area aside from your kitchen, since you already shared that, where minimalism has really profoundly impacted you? Like, how have you seen such a difference from clearing your physical clutter to kind of improving your quality of life?
Right. So this really, this one's very personal. So my birth mother died when I was 9 months old, and I was given a lot of items of hers. Later on in my life. And of course I wanted to keep all of them because her mother, so my grandmother, had saved these things. And through this journey, really paring down. So in 2017, after joining the group that you had on Facebook, I really thought about that more. And I went through the items and worked through all the fields, and on a courageous day, I got rid of a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And because number one, it's it's not my birth mom. It's not going to bring her back. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really keep her memory alive, because the memories that are given to me are storytelling from other people. So they're there. And I did actually keep something longer, and it was this last Christmas. So 2017 Christmas, mm-hmm. I was going through the box of Christmas items, and I found the stocking she had made, because she passed away in December. She made stockings for us. So, and her name was Melanie. My daughter's also named Melanie, so not to get confusing. I'm going to call her Grandma Melanie. So Grandma Melanie made stockings and with our names on them. And I asked myself, I said, is this giving me joy? Mm-hmm. Or does it just really make me feel sad? And it really made me feel sad. So I took a picture of it. I took a picture of the two stockings and got rid of them. So not only has that freed space in my home, but it also freed space in my heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that emotional attachment to things is really just holding people back. And once you can let go of those things, it totally frees you to fill yourself up with all the good in this world. And I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, no, you absolutely did. And
okay.
I love that you use that example, and that was so amazing and so personal. And I think that it's really good that you did that, because there are so many different types of emotional attachment to items. Even personally, like, we have come through just such a difficult time as a family, and Brian and I as a couple, from going through like poverty and just real like financial scarcity. And so now that we're on the other side of that, I will find myself struggling with holding on to things like just in case. And right. So there's that. And then there's, I see like widows and people who have struggled with loss, and then your, you know, loss of your mom when you were so young. And there's so many different avenues of really sadness or fear-based keeping things. Mm-hmm. And everybody has some version of that. And I haven't had anyone on the show that has shared that type of like, oh my gosh, I need to keep this just because, you know. And also, I think it's really empowering that you had really didn't really know your mother, because she died when you were so young. And so it's almost like, out of everybody that I've ever talked to, it seems like you would be the one to really, like, I would really understand that struggle, and you overcame that. And I think you're amazing for that. That's so, so incredible.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So you realize that you're keeping things, first of all, just the physical clutter is adding to your struggle with just focusing on what matters, focusing on what you need to get done right now. And it was just distractions. And then also on an emotional level with your mother, those things were just keeping you sad, keeping you kind of back instead of just able to move forward and kind of be open to the positive emotions of the things that are happening in your life right now. So, okay. I was texting my mom about you after we had spoken for your interview with me and preparation for this one. And my mom was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. Like, I have so many things I would like want to say about that or want to say to her. And she sent me this text that I'm just going to read you. And I'm,
is it going to make me cry?
No, I don't know. But okay. It made me really emotional for sure. I was like texting her, like, I'm crying right now. I'm like so sad. But okay, I just wanted to read it because it kind of gets the point across of, as a person that doesn't struggle with ADD, mm-hmm. I think that this gets the point across and would maybe like trigger if anyone is like, oh my gosh, that's me. And just kind of giving them that validation that this is like something that can be very normal and common that you might not even realize you're dealing with. Right. So, okay. My mom said, I think when you're in the throes of the season of life that you're in right now, talking about raising kids, and you are scattered like I was, you get caught in this vicious cycle of surviving in your daily life, perpetual disorganization and being overwhelmed, and then beating yourself up for not being able to get your I'll say crap instead together. Oh, mom. So it's a horrific cycle. And she said, I'm just coming off that crazy cycle, even though I haven't really been in the complete throes of raising kids for some time, because really the struggle is internal, not just external, which I thought the end of that was really eye-opening for me, that yeah, raising kids is chaotic externally, sure, but that she's feeling like she's just coming off of it. Like, so just a background, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around, but I'm the oldest of four and I'm way older than my siblings. My parents had me a few years into their marriage, and then my mom was struggling with some serious just internal stuff from the way that she was raised. And so there was a big gap. My parents didn't have any more kids for a while. So my siblings are much younger than I am, and my youngest sibling is about to graduate from high school. And I'm 31, so there's a pretty big gap there. But I thought it was so interesting that even though like she's been out of the, you know, quote, the thick of it for years, that she feels like she's just now kind of coming out of it because the chaos is internal. And you're kind of, I cut off the text here, but she continued to say like, you make it up in your own head, like you can't focus, so there's extra chaos internally when really on the outside, like it should be pretty manageable, like do the laundry, make dinner, spend time with your kids, help them with their homework, get them in bed. But inside it's like this mess of just distractions and like brain clutter. So would you agree with what she was like, what would you say to what she's saying?
100%. It is amazing. So actually, it really reminded me a part of my paper in the introduction. I say living with ADHD amplifies that overwhelmed feeling of the never-ending to-do list and expecting perfection 100% of the time. So it is, our brains, I feel like, are just beating us down over and over and over again. And Allie and I actually have very similar stories with our background. So my youngest sibling is 9. So, and I am 30.
Okay. Wow. Even a bigger gap. So you get the big gap thing.
I do, totally. And it's exactly what she says. So someone that struggles with ADHD, that method of, okay, what needs to be done right now? What needs to be done later, and what doesn't really matter? We don't have that. Because everything feels like it has to happen now or else I'm failing. And it is expecting perfection. And so that gives me, so everyone needs to listen to episode 29 where Allie talks about perfection. And it is, I've listened to it now a couple times, but with ADHD, it is a struggle of delegating tasks in our mind and really thinking in the moment, why am I here? Like, why did I come into this room? What was I going to do? And do I really need to be here?
Yeah.
So definitely adopting that, having less around you to distract you when you do that is so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
it's just it's so, this was eye opening for me talking to my mom in a couple of ways. First of all, that just the burden that like the way that my mom described how she felt, like just, I felt the burden of if I struggled with that, I mean, really, I don't know if I would have been able to have 4 kids. So then in turn, that would have directly impacted what I'm doing as a person, like my life choices,
right?
Because I would have been, the way she described it, at least just for me and my personality, my first thought was, oh my gosh, like I simply could not handle that every minute, that burden, and also have 4 children. So we probably would have, I mean, really maybe had less kids unless I had found some solution to it. I was so burdened just by hearing her talk about it. And this is affecting, you know, the people who are struggling with this. This is affecting their life in profound ways that they may not realize, because that's all you know. That's right. The way that your brain works. If that's all you know, you only know you. And then I also thought, like, and I'm just tearing up even like just as I was like listening to you talk, because it was this realization of like, oh my gosh, my mom did such an amazing job like, I didn't even know that, you know, she struggled with that until she told me when I was older, and she was kind of figuring out when I was like in high school. But it's like, I think just to encourage you and anybody listening who's falling into this camp, the kids, like, we think you're doing great. Like, we don't notice. Seems like mom can't focus. Like, other moms can. Like, we're not, you know, I never noticed or knew anything. My mom did a phenomenal job. She's like the best mom ever. I never knew, you know? So I think too, like, just to give hope to you and to anyone listening that has this issue, that I think it is all internal, just like my mom said, it is internal. And even your doubts and your fears about what this is doing to you as a mom and your family is very internal. Sure, there's things that you notice, like, you know, mom was a little scattered or she seemed really stressed out, but every mom has that in some way. It's just a little different for you. So I just wanted to say that.
When you buy something, you buy it with your time, with minutes from your life, not just with your money. Studies show us that less clutter equals less stress and more time. It's really as simple as that. This was the founding reason that I created Your Uncluttered Home. It's become my most popular, globally praised decluttering course that I designed for moms who want to live their lives more than they want to clean up after it. It's truly the A to Z of minimalism. Every room, every area, every nook and cranny of your house totally uncluttered. This super extensive, extremely detailed course is literally everything you need to become a minimalist mama who's able to be a lot more present for what matters most. To learn more about the course, go to alicasaza.com/all courses. This really is the shortcut version, the exact journey that I took as a mom 5 or 6 years ago now that got me to this point of an uncluttered, minimalistic motherhood where I'm spending the least amount of time on my house every day. Motherhood is just way too sweet a time to be spent struggling so hard and living in survival mode day in and day out. And our stuff really is the cause of that. If you want to start this lifestyle, if you want to simplify your life, I believe that it all starts at home.
Okay, getting back on topic. From that text from my mom, we were kind of texting through and like kind of trying to come up with like one question that she would want to ask you just to kind of be a voice for somebody who's struggling with ADD. And this is what we came up with. What are some things a person struggling with chronic overwhelm can do to immediately improve their life or to break the mental cycle that ADD traps you in? I feel like we kind of talked about simplifying and minimalism being that thing, but I wanted to ask you anyway, so to open the floor to anything else you want to say or to branch off of that even more.
So you definitely talk about this in every single episode. You congratulate these women listeners that they're taking time for themselves, or you say, good morning, beautiful mama. And that is the first thing that every single person struggling with this needs to sit down and say, I am enough and I am worth time and I am loved. So I need to gather myself for a moment.
You're totally fine. Yeah, we can just take a second. It's totally fine. You're making me cry too.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
So yes, women, So the number one thing I think that needs to be done is you need to sit yourself down and say these words out loud by yourself and just truly intake them and say, I am enough. I am beautiful inside and out. Mm-hmm. I am loved by the Lord.
Yeah.
And this is my life. And I have control over my life. I do have control. And then start generating, what is your goal? Even taking the simplest step for that day, what is my goal for today? What will make me feel accomplished? And working that in, if it is during making coffee, if it is during nap time or during a shower, making time for yourself. So I listen to this podcast while I'm in the shower. because that is really the only time I have for me.
Yeah.
And so designating that time. So there we go. So first, identifying a goal. Mm-hmm. Second, identifying a time and making yourself do it and stick with it. And if you get distracted, that is okay. But refocus your mind.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. What was that?
I was going to ask, do you find anything like kind of tactical or more practical that helps you with that? Like, does it help you to write it down and kind of look back at that piece of paper? Like, what was I going to do today? Or is there anything that helps you kind of refocus? Or is it a total mental thing for you?
So initially it does start with paper, but that paper is not in your hands all the time, or your phone is not, or your right. calendar is not. So it really does become a mental game, because especially when I get stressed or overwhelmed, I feel mm-hmm. myself sidetracking. So this morning, for example, for getting ready, I went into my room 3 times from the bathroom. I have no idea why. I had to go in there and be like, what? Okay. And I had to say this out loud. What am I doing? And redirect myself back into the bathroom to finish getting ready. I don't know why I went into the bedroom. And that sounds so weird, but for some reason I wanted to stop and do something and go into the bedroom and realize, okay, why did I come in here? There's no real reason. So go back into the bathroom and finish getting ready. And it does really help to say these things out loud and just say, why am I here? What is my focus? What is my goal? And then identify those things and then follow through. And I think when we hold ourselves to the expectation of making a list every day, it won't always happen. It won't. Mm. So just knowing that you can refocus your brain and a tackle what needed to be done at that time is really amazing. So
yeah, I just love so much. I'm like trying to like be sound super smart and add to it, and I have nothing to say because it was, I just love what you said. It was, you're just so encouraging and also practical at the same time. It's like easy to just kind of, you know, talk about grace or talk about giving yourself space and not really give any practical advice. And you just did both so well. So, oh my gosh, that was so, just so good. I can't wait for my mom to listen to this.
Yay. That makes me excited.
I know. Oh my gosh. Okay. So just thank you so much for your time. Is there anything anywhere that you want to like link to or anything you want to say to wrap this episode up? I feel like that was just so good. I just want to kind of end there. Is there anything you want to add?
Really just be kind to yourself today and give yourself a pat on the back. And thank you, Allie, so much for having me here. I'm actually taking a detox from social media right now.
Good for you.
So thank you. A lot of things are coming due, so I need to stay focused. and that's the other thing. So yes, I would love to give you my paper after it is completely done and have that be available for people to read.
Yeah, we can link to it in the show notes. Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely do that.
Okay, perfect. And yeah, if anyone has any questions, I would love for them to feel free to email me.
Okay. We can put that on the show notes too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for making yourself available. And you can just tell, you just exude passion about this. And I think it's so, I think it's very overlooked for mothers specifically. And maybe that's just because I'm not in it and looking for things, but I have never come across anybody who has as much passion and knowledge and just care and grace for people who are struggling with this. So I just really applaud you for what you're doing and the way you speak on this topic. I'm really honored to have you. And I hope that this episode gets into all the ears that need it so, so badly. So thank you so much again, Chelsea. This was really, really great.
Thank you, Allie. I really appreciate it.
Okay, guys, we will link to Chelsea's email if you're struggling and you want to reach out to her or to thank her for this, whatever it is. We'll link to her email address and we'll definitely link to her paper that she wrote that she's finished with and submitting tomorrow. Yay! Woo-hoo! Good job. And yeah, we'll link to all of that so you can kind of get more of Chelsea and all the work she's been doing on this after this episode. And as always, if this episode was impactful for you, tell us, leave a review on iTunes. Reviews are everything, and I always appreciate it. I will talk to you guys next time.
This was an episode of The Purpose Show. Did you know there's an exclusive community created solely for the sake of continuing discussion surrounding The Purpose Show episodes and to get you to actually take action and make positive changes on the things that you learn here? Go be a part of it. To join, go to facebook.com/groups/purposefulmamas. That's M-A-M-A-S. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're ready to up level and really take action on the things I talk about on my show and get step-by-step help from me, head to alikasaza.com for free downloads. There's also courses there, classes, and ways that you can learn more about what the next step might look like for you and to focus on whatever it is that you really need help with in this season you're in right now. I'm always rooting for you, friend. See you next time.